Hi and welcome to the Global Travel Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Collins, who with my expert guests will take you on a weekly journey to destinations around the globe, providing travel inspiration, itinerary ideas, practical tips and more to help you plan your next travel adventure. Welcome to this week's episode of the Global Travel Planner Podcast, the show where we unlock the secrets to unforgettable travel experiences with the help of experts and enthusiasts from around the globe. Today we're setting our sights on New Zealand, a country renowned for its stunning landscapes, rich Maori culture and thrilling outdoor adventures. Joining me today is Abigail Hannah, the knowledgeable and passionate podcaster from Aotearoa Adventures. Abigail is here to share her insider tips on exploring New Zealand by van, as well as providing a perfect month-long itinerary that spans both the North and South Island. Whether you're a seasoned van lifer or dreaming of your first van adventure, Abigail's expertise will guide you through the planning, the must-visit destinations, and how to make the most of New Zealand's diverse and awe-inspiring environments. So let's roll down the windows and let the fresh Kiwi air in as we join Abigail Hannah on a journey through New Zealand by van. Get ready to be inspired and start planning your own New Zealand Aotearoa adventure. I started by asking Abigail why hiring a van is a great way to explore New Zealand.
Yeah, so I think, like you said, van is just my favourite way to see the country. And I think New Zealand is just so well set up for it. It's unfortunately, I suppose, very much like a road driving sort of oriented country. It can be challenging to get around without a car. It can be done. There's great intercity buses. There's a scenic train. Did you take the train from Christchurch?
We did.
Yeah, it was lovely. Yeah. Yeah, and I've had a few guests talk about bike packing or hitchhiking around New Zealand, so there's definitely lots of ways to do it. But I think van life is the best, in my opinion, especially if you're visiting for a short time. And so we bought our first van in 2020, and that was kind of the catalyst for all our bigger trips around New Zealand. Before that, it was just day trips and stuff from Auckland. And now we've had three vans that we've converted. We're onto our fourth, and we've done three big roadies of the South Island and lots of trips around the North Island.
So do you do the vans up and then sell them on, or are you just getting bigger vans, Abigail?
It's such an interesting question. We started with the smallest low budget van that we could get. Just chucked a bed in there and a cooker and a toilet, because you've got to have a toilet to be self-contained. And then saw another van that was like a little bit better. So we're slowly moving up and upgrading, but we're finally down to the dream van, we call it. So this is going to have all the bells and whistles, and we're just so looking forward to converting it later this year and having it ready for the summer.
Oh, that's going to be exciting. So if you're planning a trip by van around New Zealand, what would be the practical considerations that you should consider? For example, seasons would be something I would think about.
Yeah, so seasons is a really great question. We've done trips in both winter and summer. Both are fine, both are great. I think the biggest difference is that when the sun goes down, you've got these short days in winter where it's dark by 5 p.m. and then it's not light again till 8 a.m. the next day. So we found that our first road trip was in winter and we just slept for like 12 hours a night. It was incredible. I've never felt so rested after a trip. But it's opposite in summer where it could still be light at 10 p.m. And yeah, so that's something to definitely consider. I love that you traveled in September, because I think those shoulder seasons, that spring and autumn, less people on the road, but you still have that good weather. If you are traveling in winter, you can get camper vans that have a heater. And in terms of like just tips for hiring a vehicle, we have so many different providers and they've got options for every single price point, every single size. There's massive motorhomes that you can fit, I don't know, a family of six or six friends in, all the way down to your little two people or one man van, and at all kinds of price points as well. So there's plenty of choice.
Is there a time that you would say it's best to avoid if you can? Because some people are stuck with when they have to travel. But is there a particular season you would say, obviously we traveled last September, which would say was shoulder season, so it wasn't too busy. Saying that, we still struggle to get into some places accommodation wise. So I guess in terms of, you know, the summer is going to be more expensive. It's going to be, you know, just busier on the roads generally.
Yeah, absolutely. So summer's definitely peak season. And if you are coming in summer, you probably want to look at booking 4 to 6 months out, if not even longer than that. The sort of peak of peak season is between Christmas and New Year's, because everyone's off work. Basically, the whole country shuts down, and you'll be surprised at how many New Zealanders have their own camper vans or caravans or massive motorhomes. So everyone is on the road. So I guess that's probably the time that you want to avoid if you don't want to be hitting that peak season. But yeah, just book ahead and be mindful of that if you're here in the summer all the way through from late November to kind of mid-February, I'd say, is that peak summer period. But it's also the most beautiful time to explore. So it's just a bit of a toss-up, isn't it?
Yeah, always, always. So this is going to be a controversial question I'm going to ask you. North Island or South Island?
Oh, I was prepared for this. And I think my answer really comes down to how much time you have in New Zealand. And you're probably going to ask me how long should people stay here? Honestly, in New Zealand, it's as long as you can give it. If you can give it 12 months, give it 12 months. If you can give it 8 years, like I have, give it 8 years. If you've only got a week or two, you can absolutely see what you need to. So in terms of South Island or North Island, it comes down to how much time you've got. If you've got a week, I'd say just base yourself in Auckland or the central North Island and do all the things around there. I know, Tracy, you loved Rotorua, and that's where we've got all these geothermal sites and activities. Why don't you share your experience of Rotorua and what you loved in the North Island?
Oh, well, I could go back and live in Rotorua, I reckon. I just loved it. I know I was waxing lyrical on your podcast because it just blew my mind, I guess. And it was somewhere that from a very young age I had in my mind that I wanted to see. When I was living in the UK, I grew up in the northeast of England, and it just seemed so exotic and so different. And so, you know, we didn't have any geothermal events happening in Northumberland. You know, I mean, it's a beautiful area of the world, but just to see that. So I just loved it. And a lot of people said, oh, does it smell a bit? And I'm like, well, I guess it does because there's a bit of sulfur, but I it didn't really bother me. I was just loved the fact that you just see steam coming up randomly from all over the place.
It's incredible, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a powerful place. So we only spent 5 days in the North Island, and it gave us a taste of what we want to go back and see more of. But absolutely, Rotorua would be number one on my list of places to go back to, because it was incredible. And then South Island. Oh, I was going to ask you this actually. So if somebody flew into Auckland and hired a van from Auckland and was going to drive down to South Island, how easy is it to get from North Island to South Island?
Yeah, so we've got a really good ferry. That's pretty much the only way you can get across. But yeah, there's two ferries that run, the Inter Islander and Blue Bridge. And top tip is always check both websites, because some one will be cheaper and other times the other will be cheaper. They also have night ferries, so flexible on time. You can actually even hire a cabin and sleep on the ferry. And sometimes they'll be cheaper at 2 a.m. or some ridiculous time. But you probably don't want to be doing both islands unless you've got sort of 3 or 4 weeks, if you're driving between them. The other option is if you've got 1 or 2 weeks, you could fly into Queenstown or Christchurch and pick up your rental camper van in one of those places. And sometimes you can also do like one-way trips. So you could fly into Auckland, drive down to Queenstown over 2 weeks, say, and then leave your camper van in Queenstown.
Ah.
So yeah, there's plenty of ways that you can kind of see the country. And if you have a month or more than that, you can absolutely see all the regions, and you'll have a bit of time for weather contingency as well. I think that's one of my top tips, that you're always going to need a little bit of time for weather and contingency, because people aren't joking when they say you can have four seasons in a day. Anywhere in New Zealand, you can be hit with, I don't know, we had snow in January, which is our summer.
Wow.
So that kind of just puts things in perspective.
It does. It certainly does. Well, I just know that the difference in the weather when we arrived in August, and then we went down sort of mid, late September down to Queenstown, and you know, it was still chilly. We had lovely sunny warm days, but there was still that kind of chilly bit of air. You could still feel, yeah, that was the end of the kind of snow season down there. And we went to Milford Sound, and the weather was awful. So I have to go back there again, because I didn't really see Milford Sound. Also, was a lot of cloud, low cloud. And that was very disappointing, because that was kind of high on my list. So that's where you kind of think, you know, if I'd been there longer and had my own van, I would have been able to watch the weather and choose the day that I went there, and be more flexible. Because next time I actually want to fly over it, because that would be an absolute dream to see it from the air.
Oh, that's on my bucket list as well.
Oh, yeah, I think that would be fantastic. So when it comes to actually where you would stay with your van, is there free camping in New Zealand, or do you need to book into campsites?
So the free camping rules are really complex. In a nutshell, they say you're allowed to stay anywhere except for where you can't stay, which is literally the most unhelpful rule ever. But to break it down, start with downloading. There's two apps. One is called Campmate and the other is called Rankers. And they show all the campsites, including like free places where you can park up. They've got basic cheap ones from like $10 a night all the way up to the more expensive ones that would have sort of all your facilities or cabins or whatever else. And depending on whether you've got a massive motorhome with like a shower or you've got a little basic one where you've got a little toilet, you might want to check into a campsite with showers and laundry facilities every now and then.
Oh yeah, but if it's pink, that would be
yes, absolutely. It always feels like a luxury having a shower after you've been staying in a van for a week or two. But yeah, so Campermate and Rankers are the apps, and they are just incredible. They've also got details on places where you can shower, or they've just got plenty of detail, and it just makes your planning so much easier when you can kind of see where those campsites are. But I guess as a rule of thumb, just follow all signage. There'll be car parks and it might say no overnight staying. It's pretty obvious. Don't stay overnight.
Yeah.
But councils also often have designated sites where you can park, and sometimes there'll be limits or particular areas. So it's kind of just about reading the signs, being mindful, being respectful of everyone else, because we do have this awesome, I guess, free infrastructure, but that comes at a cost to councils. And if people ruin it, a lot of freedom camping sites have been taken away in recent years, which is like devastating for people like me that live here and travel a lot. So yeah, I guess it's just to say, be mindful. Another option that I've come across quite recently are DOC campsites. So DOC is our Department of Conservation, and they've got awesome sites at sort of pretty basic, but you can get like a monthly or 6 monthly pass. And that means that you can stay at all these DOC campsites, which are scattered all across the country. So that's another option that people might want to look into.
Oh, that sounds exciting. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, because I was thinking, if myself and Doug come over, that's the two of us. So would you recommend a particular type of van, or would you just say go for the best that your budget can allow? Or would you say, actually, depending on where you're going to go, this particular type of van would be better? Is there kind of a difference, would you think, or does it really matter?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. And I think the thing with van life, and this is also the reason we've kind of had three different vans, every van has a different layout. And sometimes you don't really know what you like and what suits you until you've kind of tried it out. But everyone will have different priorities. For some people, having space to stand might be a non-negotiable. And in our first vans, there was barely like a meter between the bed and the roof and absolutely no floor space. So like trying to put pants on the morning was a bit of a wiggle situation on the back of the bed. Whereas our current van, you can sit on the bed comfortably. I can almost stand. So I don't know, there's things like that to consider. And you might see some vans and say, that is absolutely too small. That's not happening. Another factor for me is, I guess, the ease of like putting things away, pulling out your kitchen. I hate changing from a seating setup to a sleeping setup and stuff like that, but that's just a personal preference. So I think, yeah, there's plenty of options. And as you are sort of browsing, you'll find some that jump out. But in terms of having a particular van for a particular place, that I think they're all the same. Unless it's winter, you might want a heater. If it's summer, you might want an awning so you've got shade and outdoor space. So yeah, plenty of things to think about, but hopefully when you're having a browse, the perfect van will sort of stand out.
I'm sure it will. Well, we've never actually traveled in a van before. It's been on our kind of to-do list, to experience list for a long time. So, and I feel that New Zealand is going to be the first place that we try it, put it that way. So it'll be very exciting. So so obviously we're heading to New Zealand. We've got our van organized. We know we're over for at least a month, because that would be the time scale that we would be looking for. Preferably, you know, 12 months, that would be ideal. But just say we're coming over for a month. Do you have any suggested routes that you can recommend for that van trip for us, for example?
Absolutely. Well, if you've got a month, you can see a lot. So I would start you in Auckland. And I would take you to the Coromandel, which is where Cathedral Cove, if you've heard that name. It's where Narnia was shot. It's quite an iconic beach. At the moment, it's been closed because we had a hurricane last summer, which caused damage to the track, but you can still visit on a boat, which is such a bucket list experience. Also, Hobbiton is in a similar region. Did you do that when you visited? Because I've never been.
Yes, we did. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I'd head through the Bay of Plenty to Rotorua and Taupo, which are your geothermal areas. And then I would pop out to Napier and Hawke's Bay on the coast. It's a little bit more sort of off the beaten track, but there's awesome wine tours and stuff that you can do there. Napier's got this sort of Art Deco town centre, which is really fun. From there, I drive down to Wellington, and there's plenty to do in Wellington. It's our capital city. There's lots of food. It's kind of like the culture. It's known for sort of its culture, its music, its food. And we've also got the National Museum there, which is an awesome place to pop in. Did you visit Te Papa as well?
No, we didn't. We went as far as Rotorua and then had to go back to Auckland because I was flying down to Christchurch for a house sit. So yeah, we only literally flew in on the Sunday night, and then I flew to Christchurch on the Friday morning. So it was a very short for 4 days, enough to get that taste though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so from Wellington, that's where you would catch your ferry, and that goes across to Picton. From Picton, it's about a two-hour drive maybe to Kaikoura, which is an incredible, incredible tiny little town, but it's amazing for wildlife encounters. So there are plenty of whales, dolphins. There's a whole seal colony, which is like my favorite free wildlife encounter you can do in New Zealand. It's literally like a coastal track, and you can just walk down for free and look at all the seals. It's amazing. And yeah, so much to do there. Look up Kaikoura. But from there, you'll head to Christchurch. Lots to do there again. From Christchurch, you can head to Tekapo and Mount Cook, which I know you absolutely loved. And that's like my hands down South Island must do. Heading to Mount Cook it's our tallest mountain in New Zealand, and it's absolutely spectacular.
Stunning. It's stunning. I'll never forget that place. It's probably, honestly, the most beautiful place I've ever been. And I don't say that lightly, because I have been quite a lot of amazing places in the world. But I just think that hike that we took, and I don't hike either, I just enjoyed that so, so much. It was a beautiful day, and it's a gorgeous, not the longest hike. The Hooker Valley Trail was just, it's kind of life-changing. It's a bit funny. It just had such a huge impact on myself and my husband. You just feel very small in the universe when you're surrounded by so much beauty, and it just takes your breath away. It really, really does. And I can't wait to go back there. I really can't.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly echo all your words. I've been there 3 times. It will not be the last time I go there. I'm going to be going back again and again and again. We're actually going in August, which this episode comes at such a great time, because my husband's parents are visiting New Zealand, and we're going to do a road trip of the South Island in a camper van with them. And it's their first time in the South Island. So this is actually helping me sort of plan our itinerary as well, thinking about sort of the must-do spots.
Oh, that sounds absolutely fantastic, Abigail. I'm sure you'll have an amazing time.
Hooker Valley in Aoraki, Mount Cook is an absolute must-do. If it can get Tracy as a non-hiker to do the track, anyone can do it, right, Tracy?
Absolutely, absolutely, 100%.
And from there, you want to head to Wanaka and Queenstown. If you are a hiker, there's so much to do there in the mountains. Queenstown's also known to be like the adventure sort of capital. It's where bungee jumping was invented. You can go on a jet boat. It's got heaps of activities for tourists. And then from Queenstown, you want to go to Milford Sound. If you've got a month, you've probably got enough time to drive to Milford Sound, and the road there is absolutely beautiful. But if you're short on time, you can like do a fly day out of Queenstown. That's what Tracy was talking about. Flying into Milford Sound would be incredible. Or if you're not comfortable driving, because it is quite a narrow winding road, you can also hop on a bus tour from Queenstown as well.
And we did that actually. It's a very long day. That's the only thing to say. It's a very, very long day. And it's a nice day out, but I guess when you get there and it's all a bit cloudy and you don't see anything very much, it was all a bit like, oh no. And it's quite pricey. So we were a bit like, oh. And actually, I agree. I don't know if I would want to drive that route myself, because it is a little bit windy. And I lived in the French Alps, so I'm kind of used to those kind of mountain. But, I, you know, and a camper van, I don't think so.
Yeah, absolutely. Another tip, actually, while I'm thinking of it, is if you are booking a flight in any of your places in New Zealand, book it for the first day. So if you're staying in Queenstown for 3 days, book your flight for the first day, because if the weather's bad, your flight might get postponed to the second or the third day. And if you've booked on the third, you're probably missing out. So that's just a tip for everybody. But from Milford Sound, I would probably head up the west coast of the South Island. And the west coast is a bit of an untouched gem. Our first trip there, well, first of all, it rained for 4 days, which I didn't love. but we probably drove for an hour or two and didn't see a single car, like not even a car coming in the opposite direction. Like, that's how remote we're talking. Uh-huh. It was during COVID, so you will probably see a few more cars these days, but it really is off the beaten track. And there's Fox Glacier and Franz Glacier, which are two tiny little towns, and you can take a helicopter up to the glaciers. You can do a short walk to kind of view them. But that's sort of what the West Coast is known for. And it's just really like Jurassic Park, these rugged vibes. I haven't been to Hawaii, but I imagine that's kind of what it would look like, with like massive mountains just rolling straight into the sea.
Wow. Wow. It's just, honestly, New Zealand just offers so much on so many levels. It really does. There's just so much to see, so much to experience.
Talking about diversity and landscapes, from the West Coast, I would drive to Abel Tasman. And I don't know if you managed to squeeze this into your trip, but it's our best beaches, I reckon. My first trip there was absolutely mind-blowing. And I was like, am I in Fiji? Am I in Samoa? Like, it just felt so tropical, so warm, so just incredible. And if you've got the time to do a kayak trip there, that is super fun. Absolutely love Abel Tasman. And this last summer, that's the region where we spent a whole month just exploring the Abel Tasman region, and Nelson. So there's heaps to do there. Head to Golden Bay, head to Whareriki Beach, which is also a really iconic one. You'll know it from your Microsoft screensavers.
Okay.
and so that's a big loop of the South Island. And when you're headed, because we've got a month, so we've probably got maybe 4 or 5 days left on this trip. So you're going to catch your ferry back over to Wellington, and then you're going to head up the west coast and visit Taranaki, which is this beautiful mountain. It's volcanic and it's like very symmetrical. It looks like Mount Fuji. There's a beautiful walk that you can do there to the Puakai Tans. And from there, you're going to visit Waitomo, which I'm not sure if you did this either, but it is glowworm caves. And they are absolutely magical. If you look up the pictures online, it looks like that in real life. It looks even better.
Oh, wow. I have heard of them, yeah, but we couldn't fit it in.
Yeah. So there's quite a few places in New Zealand where you can see glowworms, but I think hands down Waitomo is the best place to do them. And if you're going to fork out the money, you might as well do it there. So then you're back in Auckland, and if you've still got time on your trip, keep heading north to the top of New Zealand, Cape Reinga. We've got some massive sand dunes, which make you feel like you're in Saudi Arabia. We've got some more beautiful beaches up there, some beautiful waterfalls, and yeah, there's just so much to do. And I love that you kind of touched on the diversity of it, because yeah, I've been here 7-8 years. We've been actively traveling for the last sort of 3 or 4, and we still haven't seen it all.
No, and so, you know, there is, like you say, there's just so much to see, so much to experience. The wildlife is just fantastic as well. The scenery is amazing. I found the people of New Zealand to be incredibly friendly and welcoming as well. It was just amazing. We enjoyed the food as well. We had some really nice pies.
Yes, you've got to have a meat pie when you're here.
Yeah. So we just loved it. Honestly, we can't wait to come back. Actually, the first two, episode 2 and episode 3 of the Global Travel Podcast is all about our trip to New Zealand. We did one for each North Island and South Island. And the more people we can inspire to visit New Zealand, the better. That's my attitude. So Abigail, I always end the podcast with one question, and it is, what is your top tip for someone considering New Zealand in a van?
So I think since we're talking about vans, driving is probably a really key consideration, and just safety around that, because we do have narrow roads. You do drive on the left. So if you're used to driving on the right, that's a bit different. If you've got a camper van, it might be a bigger vehicle than usual. It might be a bit slower. So yeah, just, I guess that's something to just be mindful of. And if there are cars piling up behind you, just let them pass, pull over to the side, let them go past, because you don't want to have any road rage. We do that all the time in our camper van, just pull off to the side, let everyone go past, and then keep going. And you want to be driving slowly to take in all the scenery anyway.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
But I guess overall, just responsibility. New Zealand is such a precious place, and we've got this thing called the Tiaki Promise, which means sort of guardianship. And it's just about caring for the land, the sea, nature, treading lightly, leaving no trace, traveling safely, and respecting the culture. So, it's just a commitment to care for Aotearoa New Zealand, and I'd love for everyone to come here to commit to that as well.
Well, absolutely, 100% agree. We need to keep it as beautiful and pristine as it is now, forever.
Yes.
So thanks so much, Abigail, for coming on the podcast. I will link to your podcast and to your Instagram account in the show notes. So if you're listening to this podcast and want to catch up with Abigail, those are the best places to do so. Thanks so much, Abigail, for coming on and chatting all about New Zealand.
Thank you so much, Tracy. It's been so fun to share my love for New Zealand with your audience.
Thanks once again to Abigail for coming on to the Global Travel Planner podcast. Head over to globaltravelplanning.com/episode 16 for the show notes. And that just leaves me to say until next week, happy global travel planning.